Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, we're going to come back in Philippians. We're going to pick it up here in chapter 3 in a moment. Paul has just made the statement, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Properly translated, it says from the dead. Because that resurrection short stops or bypasses or defeats death. In other words, you go into your spiritual body, as we discussed at the close of the last lecture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, then you've got to believe also all those that are dead or asleep in him have risen also. They're with him. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. And this is what Paul was saying. I want to be delivered from that death. Why? Because Christ defeated death. He paved the way for us that we have eternal life. And you know, our real body, which is our spiritual body, is eternal. It was with the Father in the beginning, and it abodes in this flesh body as long as God has use for you here, a destiny and a purpose. And that continues, and Paul knows that. And that's why he said, I look forward to that. So we pick it up then, if we may, in chapter 3 of Philippians, and verse 12. Let's see what it has to say. Verse 12 reads, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, this means mature or secured, okay? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That is to say that I'm captured by him. And being captured by him, I remain captured. And I will be captured. That's where I'm going. You see, once you hear the real truth of God's word, it captures you. No one can shake you away from that. You know that you have a destiny to stand against in this generation, the false Christ. That the Holy Spirit's going to use you. You have a destiny and a purpose. Nobody's going to take that away from you. You're never going to take it, turn from it. And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm captured by it. And though not fully in the resurrected body, but in the truth of Christ's word, I'm already captured. I'm secured. And that secured is kind of a legal term, meaning it's guaranteed. Once you believe and once you love him and once you follow him, your eternal salvation is secure. It's guaranteed. And you are a captured soul. And what a wonderful place to be. That is the greatest love that God can give to his children, is to embrace them with the truth whereby they have no way of ever wanting anything different. Verse 13 to continue. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not captured totally yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, that is a very important statement. It's something every Christian should hang on to. You know, there's not a whole lot you can do outside of repentance and asking for forgiveness or receiving blessings for what's behind you. That's history. It's past. But what you want to look forward to is the future. For that you can change, that you can apprehend, that is to say, be captured in the truth, and not only you, But being captured or secured by that truth does a strange thing to you. That love is so instilled within you, it pours over and you want to secure others. You want to share that beautiful thing with other people. And when you look forward, that's what you see, is ways to do that, the ways to better your life. The mistakes of old, yeah, you'll never forget that. But the reason for not being able to forget isn't that you're not forgiven, it's that you don't want to commit that those mistakes again, looking back. Always look forward. Looking forward is progress. Looking forward, you can do something about. You can change your outcome simply by knowing Father's word and by doing what you know is right. And what is the gift from God that is most precious concerning that, of not looking back but looking forward? It's common sense. Plain old out-and-out common sense. Looking forward will do you more good than many degrees that some liberals might want you to attain. Not to say there's anything wrong with a degree, but common sense is the foundation of God's blessings and progress and success. So when you're secured in Him, you always look forward. Why? Because you're looking forward to that time you will be totally captured. And the subject here, back from verse 11, is the resurrection. And as I've told you before, resurrection has three meanings being translated. And it means, number one, simply to believe on Christ. That raises you to a higher level of thinking. You don't think the way you used to when you come to that conclusion. And then in loving Him and following Christ raises you even to a higher level of thinking. And naturally then at death, when you do pass away, that third part of that resurrection is to actually resurrect, transform, and be with the Heavenly Father in your spiritual body. Okay, let's go with the next verse, please. Next verse being 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to, this word mark is kind of a special word. It is scopios. You know what a scope is? The mark of the prize of the high calling, you take a scope and you scope things out before you just grab it and run with it. That's, again, common sense. You scope out that someone puts to you. This goes all the way back to chapter 1, verse 11, where he says, if some new thing, different thing, comes along, you better scope it. You better look at it. Well, here, this mark means you mark it and you put the light on it. You check it out. You find out about it, because the high calling of God in Christ causes you to, your attitude in maturity will scope out that new thought. That means analyze it to the nth degree. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that's to say mature, you've matured, you've accepted Him, be thus minded. Let this be your attitude. And if anything you be otherwise minded, any other attitude that might come to you, God shall reveal even this unto you. This has to do with the little things, not the major, but the little things in life that make a difference. He said, if you truly believe, and if you truly love the Lord, if you are mature, then through the Holy Spirit, He will give you unction. With unction will lead you and guide you and call to your attention the little things. So what would we say then about that? Don't worry about the little things that are around the edge necessarily. Stick with the mature, and the Holy Spirit will explain through common sense the little things that will come to you when it is necessary. That's the beauty of loving and serving God with anticipation, is that He always fulfills, He always leads you through, He will always show you the way. Once you believe, life is like a road that is well marked. God places signposts there through the commandments and telling you how to do this, that, or the other in maturity, and letting you know what happens if you get off the beaten path. So life becomes a lot more interesting. That's looking forward, not back. Okay. Doesn't help you to look in the rearview mirror of life and outside of repentance to be a servant of the living God. So that's a great promise in that 15th verse. It's the Holy Spirit will assist you in all things, even the little things. Verse 16 to continue. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. Let's live up to it. Once you've seen it, once you've heard it, then live up to it. Don't just be a talker, be a doer. Okay, that's very important. And when you attain that knowledge, live up to it. I mean, let it be the gauge of your life. And Father will always, utilizing common sense again, the foundation of life, we could call foundation as far as the flesh is concerned, even the spirit body, in following the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us comfort, for he is the comforter. His spirit certainly is. So when he gives you something, even the little things around the edge, live up to it. Be a doer. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. I set the example. Watch it. And mark, there's that word again, scopio. Put a scope to it. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In other words, if somebody else comes around here with a different message than what we have brought you, you better put the scope to it. You better mark it and check it well. Well, how do you do that? Common sense. You analyze it. You know, God, through the gift of discernment, that's a precious gift from God. That's the way a lot of times he calls your attention to the little things, is spiritual discernment. You automatically know when you hear it, that does not sound right. When that happens, put the scope to it, okay? That means take that magnifying glass and scope it out. Find out what, and I'm speaking spiritually here, what's at the bottom of it? What's the purpose of it? Is it from God or is it some man in a vain trip? So therefore, it always, if somebody walks different than Paul, a precious teacher, you want to analyze it, and you want to analyze it very well. Now I want to insist on something. He did not say don't listen. He said check it out. The beauty of being captured by the Lord Jesus Christ is, and being mature. I want to ensure that being mature, you can listen to anything, and you automatically know by spiritual discernment whether it's true or a fake, okay? You just intuitively know. A gift from God, that's how he lets you know, is deep down. That's why scoping it out. And Paul makes it real simple. He says, if they bring a different message than this, you better be real careful. Something is not right. Verse 18 to continue. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, they claim to be Christians, okay, and now tell you even weeping. It brings tears to my eyes, Paul says, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, you have people that will pick up Christianity and then they'll get sidetracked and come in with a bunch of nonsense that misleads people, that harms people, and makes them actually an enemy to the cross of Christ. Do you understand what that means? Christ died on that cross. Christ shed his blood on that cross. And when somebody makes a mimic or becomes an enemy of that, they lose everything. There's only one thing that will save you, and that's Christ on the cross, what he accomplished there. Because through that, we all fall short, but through that we can be perfect and we can be mature by repentance. But when you, he said, I can with tears, some of them I knew real well and thought they were well on their way, and then boom, they just go off into a deep rut of false worship and other things, making a mockery even, and becoming an enemy of Christ. It is a very serious thing when someone disrupts the teaching of the cross that runs deep, and it does bring tears. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, that's perdition. The old son of perdition, Satan, just jumped right in there with him. Whose God is their belly, the flesh, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's really all they can think of. Do you know, there is another place where this is made very, very clear, and it's Romans chapter 8, verse 5, okay? It is something we need to take note of concerning this subject. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Of course it is. And verse 6 then to continue. For to be carnally minded is death. That's religion, perdition. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's tranquility forever. How precious it is to be a part of that. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way. Verse 9 to complete. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It is so be, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that's the way it is. It continues on here in that 8th chapter. And it will go on down about the 26th verse, and it will say, hey, as one of God's saints, set aside ones, that's God's elect, you don't even know what to pray for a lot of times. Therefore, God intercedes in your life. Why? Because you were chosen before the foundations of the world. He said you were predestined in about the 28th verse of that chapter. He said foreordained. Even in the first earth age, if you would, justified as a servant of God. This is why God can intercede in the elect's life, because they're already justified. It isn't to say they will still pay for their sins, but at the same time, God can interfere or move them to accomplish the scripture in their lives. Because they're already justified, therefore on judgment day they can't say to him, you caused me to do that. You see, he won't do that with somebody that has free will, that hasn't overcome. Because he doesn't want them to say on judgment day, God, you did it, you moved me. He will not touch them unless they ask him. But God's elect, you can rest assured, be forewarned. Many times, as that 26th verse of that 8th chapter of Romans state, you don't even know what to pray for. But God, through the Holy Spirit, as forementioned here in this book of Philippians, he'll add that on to you. He'll jog your memory, and he'll get your motor going, okay? Because he loves you, he knows you, and he will always do you well. Returning then to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and it reads, "For our conversation is in heaven." We look forward to that. That's where every Christian, every true Christian wants to make heaven.
Okay.
That's home with God. "From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We look for him to return. We look for him to return to us, whereby we have that second advent. And then we have the millennium. If you're mature, and if you know his word, you know what's going down, and you're captured by it. You're helped by it, and that's a beautiful thing, to be helped by the hand of the living God, so that you know and you understand. 21, listen carefully. What's he going to do? "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." He's got that power. Do you understand what was said there? We look forward to his coming when we ourselves put off this flesh and are in that spiritual body as his, and to that glorious body, and be there with him when that time comes. Do you know where he spoke of that before? We can go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we can pick it up, if we may, with verse 24 of that 15th chapter. Listen carefully. "Then cometh the end, telos, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." Why? Christ's taken over. 25. "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." That's Psalms 110, verse 1, just coming right out of the Old Testament. 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Do you know how that transpires? At the end of Revelation chapter 20, those that do not participate in the second resurrection and the first will participate in the second death. And that is the last death. That's the death of the soul. 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest," it's complete, "that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." That's what we're working forward to. Do you know, this is why, you might say, well, why would God have elect? Because he sits at the right hand of God until his enemies are made his footstool. Guess who he utilizes to do that? You, God's elect. He can direct them, interfere in their lives, and cause these things to come to pass. And by speaking through them as they're delivered up before the false Messiah and so forth. Our Father's great. You know, this continues on then. We're going to skip on down to verse 50, okay, in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption." Meaning, flesh is in a different dimension than your spiritual body. That's why you can't see it. You know, God could have 1,000 angels right over your head in spiritual bodies. You couldn't see them, but they could be there to accomplish whatever God so desires. Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Listen carefully. "We shall not all sleep." We're not all going to just kick the bucket in a natural way. "But we shall all be changed." What? Into that spiritual body. like his. This is what brought us here was from Philippians, who said to put on the body that his like his body. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, what is that? Well, the Greek is specific. It's the furthest one out. That's seven. Seventh trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Everyone will be changed, the good, the bad, the ugly, into spiritual bodies, but some of them are still going to have a mortal soul. Right? They didn't make it. Well, what does it mean when they have a mortal soul? Well, mortal means liable to die. I mean, they're liable to take part in the second death unless something happens. Okay. For this incorruptible, which is to say this flesh must this corruptible, rather, which is flesh, must put on incorruption. Meaning, this flesh body must put on your spiritual body. Yep, it's a different dimension. Don't let that throw you, though. Okay. But what dwells within this flesh body and also the spirit body? Your soul, which is called what? Mortal. This mortal soul must put on immortality, meaning you've got to take part in the first or the second resurrection, or you're going to die the second death. That's, Christ defeated that death, and it's foolish for anyone to participate in it. And all you have to do is believe, love him, follow him, and be a part thereof. Verse 53 to continue. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, meaning this flesh body must put on the spiritual body. And this mortal, here we go, liable to die soul, must put on immortality. That's deathlessness. For you are attain eternal life. Verse 54. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. And this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's what we look forward to. That's maturity, my friend. And he continues on then, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? And it has none. Why? Because God is on the throne, and we're captured by that. We're captured by the truth. That is a true saying. That is a true scripture. And certainly we look forward to that day that happens in this generation of the fig tree, if you're familiar with our Father's word. Chapter 4, verse 1, Philippians. Let's read it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, a person that won't stand fast is weak, can be pitched into perversion, or be allowed to teach perversion or believe in it. That's not of God. You got to stand fast if you want to make heaven. If you want to be pleasing to God, you will stand fast to the things he has taught you, to the maturity of his word. Verse 2, I beseech Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Here we have, we've got two wonderful servants here. What is it they do? 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, which means mild, also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, that's your record, you're kept in heaven. All your good deeds are right there. Now, what is unique about that particular verse, back in verse 2? Well, Euodias is a woman's name. We're talking about a woman here. And Syntyche, that's a woman. And he said, you are yoke fellow, you're in the ministry. And all those women that helped me there bring forth the ministry. Oh, my goodness. Preachers always say women have no part in the church. Well, somebody forgot to tell Paul. Somebody forgot to tell our Heavenly Father. I wonder how that could have happened. How could some minister, how a group of ministers fail to let God know that these were women and they were serving the church? Do you know what a yoke fellow is? That's somebody you're yoked to and they're getting the job done. And I might say that you go to 90% of the churches today and what's really, when it comes down to the work getting done, count heads and tell me, are they mostly male or female doing God's work? I can answer that for you. They're mostly female. So Paul doesn't seem to be ashamed of the fact that these women are working in the church and even in the point of a ministry. He said they're fighters. They fight for it. He said, I want you to be in the same mind as who? Paul. Paul was a fighter. I want those women to be in the same mind. They'll get it done. So, you see, sometimes people need a little adjustment simply because you have poor scholarship in the Greek where it said a woman shall be silent in church. They forget to tell you what that word silent really is in the Greek tongue. It's chatter. Chachi, chachi, chachi. It means to chatter, chatter, chatter. Nonsense. I won't let men, women, or children chatter when God's word is being delivered. But you see, ignorance is bliss. They jump on that and say, well, it says it right there. No, it's improperly translated. That's why men teach it. But is it not strange that as we read in Acts chapter 2, that on Pentecost Day, as it approaches, that did it say, just those hairy-legged old boys are up there with the Holy Spirit speaking through them? Yep, that's what it is. No, it says both sons and daughters, the Holy Spirit speaks through them. So you need to be very careful. I'm speaking to pastors. You need to do your homework and not mislead people. God uses whomever he chooses. And thank God, sometimes he chooses women. There was Huldah. Have you ever heard of her? She was head of the biblical university in the time of the Judges. Have you ever heard of Deborah? She was one of the judges. Men wouldn't even go to war unless she got in. Was out in front of them. She went. And God gave her the victory. So you see, God uses whomever he will. And I say this as an equalizer so that God's truth reigns supreme. That maturity and being captured by truth reigns supreme. When truth is taught, no one wants to escape that truth. They want to be captured by it. I don't care who you are. God loves all of his children. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strong's Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. You know, many people might judge. We're not going to. Why? God's the judge. And it's a sin for men to try to take the place of God in judgment. You do have the right, as I stated earlier, for spiritual discernment. And that you practice by knowing who to walk with and who to talk to and who to participate with. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, it's always a pleasure. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You're his child, and he loves you. He wants you to return that love. He loves you, but he may not love what you're doing, else you repent. Let him know that you love him. It makes his day. And when you make his day, he's sure going to make yours. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Diana from Texas. It is or was Jesus ever married or have children? My sister and a work friend say yes. They say with Mary Magdalena. I don't believe this. Is it in the Bible? Or if so, where? You know, this is why you always want a Christian to do your translating. Because to answer the question, Christ was never married to a woman to produce children, okay, or in any other way other than spiritual. Now, when it says that Mary Magdalena was betrothed to Christ, what does that mean? Let me ask you, as a Christian, are you betrothed to Christ? Or I'll ask it in a different way. Do you intend to take part in the great wedding when that hour of midnight strikes? As you see, gender has nothing to do with that wedding. And something else, a Christian knows exactly what it means to say Mary Magdalena was betrothed to Christ. All of us are. That's what Christianity is about. But you see, a non-Christian would read that, well, Mary Magdalena says right there, you know, that she was engaged or married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a non-Christian, a heathen, does not understand spiritual marriage. That is to say, the analogy that is set forth so that we can better understand the love of God for his children. Okay. Example, he would use the same thing in Mark chapter 13, where he would say, woe to those that are with child and that give suck when I return. Right, he wants to, when he returns, he wants to marry a virgin, spiritually speaking. If he returns after having been away 2,000 years, and he finds you with a small child and you're nursing along that child, what does it mean? It means you were very untrue. So, but he's speaking spiritually that many will be impregnated with the lies of flyaway doctrine and other things, whereby they will not only be impregnated by it, but they will be nursing along Satan's church in trying to bring others on board. Why? Because they all think he's Christ. That's a very dangerous thing, and so it is. Always study where you have a Christian translator, or you can get into much trouble. Charlotte from Louisiana. My nephew was only 3 months old when he died. Do babies grow up in heaven? We are all the same age in spiritual bodies. You know, God created all of us at the same time. And it's kind of precious in a way. Anytime you read, let's do a little documentation here. Anytime you read of an angelic being approaching and talking to a human being in flesh, they're always young. Why is that? Because age has nothing to do with the spirit body. They're all the same age, and they will never get any older, because age does not affect a spiritual body. So they're all the same age, and he was that 3-month-old before they came here was a spirit being, and naturally looked very young, just as you would. And then came as a babe to decide whether he or she would love the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, at the age of 3 months, they're innocent. They're going to heaven. And so it is. Bob from Nebraska. When I go to a funeral service, they always say the dead person is now with God. Why do they always say that? Well, in fact, it's true. As it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It also says in Ecclesiastes, the great book in the Old Testament that tells us how flesh bodies can be happy if you'll listen to Ecclesiastes, that the minute this clay pot breaks, your flesh body, the cord part, silver cord, and your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, returns to the Father from which it came. You came from God, you go back to God. So to say they're there. Now, if they're bad, they're on the wrong side of the gulf, and they're in a heap of hurt. But they're still there because God's the judge, and he's the one that does all the judging. Judy from Virginia. I hear every day that the world is ending this year. Is that true? Absolutely not. Okay. Well, how can you be so sure? Well, let's put it this way. Before the world can end, the one world political system must gather a little more steam than it has so far, and then it must receive a deadly wound, and then the false Christ must come and heal that deadly wound instantly, and then have 5 more months after that. So you can rest pretty well assured the end of the world is not this year. But we are watchmen. It will happen in and to this generation of the fig tree. So you want to always watch. All these things I forementioned, they could really shuffle along and happen in a pretty big hurry. But those are the things you want to watch for, not dates necessarily, but watch events. That's what lets you know when the trumps are being played. Suzanne from Michigan. Okay, I watch your program. Thank you. Hope you'll announce. I would like your question time. You're very, thank you for the comment. I'm trying to get to your question. Hope you'll announce them on TV or drop me a letter. I cannot ever do that. I have thousands of requests. I'll appreciate that very much. Now, will the Antichrist be in a flesh body? And will we see this Antichrist in person? Absolutely. You may see him on television, but you will see him. He will not be in a flesh body. He has his own body. Antichrist is Satan. Antichrist goes by the dragon, the false prophet, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the serpent in the garden. Those are all names of Satan, the destroyer. And then in the great book of Revelations in chapter 9, it gives you in both Greek and Hebrew who the Antichrist is for his 5-month period. Where you cannot be mistaken. Apollyon in the Greek tongue means the destroyer, and Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue meaning the destroyer. His name in both languages. Christopher from Georgia, if God created all the races at one time, how do we get the different races and only Noah's family was saved from the flood? Well, Christopher, now you're drawing a conclusion that's not correct. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. And tell me, how many did God say take aboard the ark? Two of every flesh. Read verse 3 of chapter 6. It says it saddened God because he had now created man flesh. All of those races on the sixth day were flesh. And two of each of them was taken aboard that ark. Okay, there were only 8 Adamic souls. That's Noah and his family. And 8 Adamic means that would be the genealogy through which Christ would come. But the other races were on that ark. Look around you. We've got all the races today. That's how they made it. It is true that some people think the flood was not worldwide and many of the races escaped that way. Whatever you think, I think otherwise. Brenda from Kentucky, when the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit working like when Saul raised Tabitha and these miracles were seen, were these people raised back to life in the flesh? Brenda, I think you're a little confused. I believe it was Peter that raised Tabitha from the dead. And I think you can, in Acts chapter 9, the same chapter that Saul, as Paul, was chosen, but it was Peter that raised Tabitha, no problem. But it was defeating death in Christ's name. Those events happen so that people know to believe is to defeat death. People, you know, not even Satan is dead. He's still very alive. And even your ancestors that have passed on, they're not dead. They're with the Lord. Okay. Randy from Tennessee, when Satan is cast upon the earth, how long will it take for him to appear on the scene? Will it be instantly, or will he have to work his way into position or the role he will play? Keith from Tennessee, thank you. You're welcome. It was a pleasure serving this nation. Okay, it's made very clear that he's going to appear for a 5-month period. You know that he appears the first day because he comes as the dragon in Revelation 13:4 and heals the deadly wound. He's here, but he does not make his appearance until Revelation 13:11. When it looks like the Lamb of God, I mean, it looks like the Lamb got horns, but what's this? Is the voice of the dragon, meaning he plays as Antichrist in the middle of the week, of course, the middle of the hour. In the middle of that hour is 2.5 months. 2.5 months is half of 5 months. That's when he makes his appearance in his big play and loading up his rapture wagon to haul people off. Janet from New York. My question is, why are so many would-be Christians transferring to the 70 AD theory? I've read endlessly on it, but still do not understand. Well, I certainly don't understand how anyone can be led to the 70 AD theory. Because if you read, it's the greatest, most awesome event since the beginning of time is what it says in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. And what happened in 70 AD? A little old 10-star Roman general came into Jerusalem. It wasn't any great, terrific thing, and it didn't change time. It didn't change the world. But I assure you, when the false Messiah appears, and it will be in this generation, not 70 AD that long ago. You know, it would be a miracle to me how people could really blot out truth by believing the 70 AD doctrine. It's false because it didn't happen then. And, you know, you would have to be pretty dense to not know that all the events predicted by our Father that would happen when that advent transpired. And to pass that off as some little old Roman general is beyond me. They would believe anything if they would believe that. But then, what's new under the sun, huh? Phyllis from California. Pastor Murray, can you anoint someone who is ill and lives in another state? How do you do it? You do it by proxy. It's called intercession. You can even anoint yourself in their place and let it be known to the Father what you were doing. Doing it by proxy. Or if you have another member of your family that is mature and understands the word, you can let them by proxy stand in for that person that is ill and anoint them. It's called intercessory prayer. And it's very real, and Father appreciates it. And it gets Father's attention. It certainly does. Derek from Alabama. Does Satan rapture people? If so, where does he take them? Also, are the four horsemen already on the earth? No, the four horsemen are not here. His question is, I'm gathering you all together, but we must accomplish one other thing first. If you have relatives that do not believe I am the true Christ, please bring them and let us convert them. They think he's Jesus. And they're going to say, Jesus, you don't understand. My brother's a good man. I want to bring him and I want you to save him. I want you to forgive him. And when they're misled, they will bring God's elect right in front of Satan, deliver them up. Because they will know you don't believe. Even mother to father and father to son, as it is written in Mark 13. But they out of love, they think they're doing you a favor by asking Jesus to forgive you, when unfortunately it's instead of Jesus, it's a false Christ. But that's okay. That's what the word is for. That your destiny is to be delivered up. You're not to premeditate what you will say, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you at that time. Lynn from North Carolina. I greatly appreciate you're so very welcome. The questions I have concern the so-called rapture, supposedly introduced by a woman named Mary MacDonald in the year 1832, flyaway doctrine, but the King James Version of the Bible was printed in the year 1611, and there were Bibles a long time before that, compared with the scripture Ezekiel 13:18-21, and I will tear them from your arms. These two dates are confusing. Could you please help me? It's prophecy. Ezekiel is prophecy about what will happen. You see, God knew a long time ago that doctrine would come forth. And that's why Paul, you see, your prophecy, don't date what the date the prophecy was given, but date the time that the prophecy is fulfilled. Okay, then that'll straighten your dates out all right. But the teaching and the false teaching can work in as it did. And, I mean, you know, that was a great thing for preachers. They didn't have to work so hard. All they had to do is say, you believe and you fly away. You don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. Well, you see, if somebody told you you don't have to study God's word to listen to them, would you listen to them? If you would, you'd be a big fool. But only a fool would listen to somebody to tell you you don't have to understand God's word, because God wrote you the letter, because he loves you. And certainly they're not going anywhere except into Satan's clutches. That's the real sad truth. And it happens, and it will happen. Terry from North Carolina, my question, what will happen to the many good Christians being taught and to believe in the rapture theory when the Antichrist appears and they foolishly follow and bow to him? Well, it's written in Revelation, and you might as well get used to it. The whole world whores after the false Christ. And that's the way he pulls it off. It's the rapture doctrine in part. Because they say, we don't have to worry about the great tragedy. And how does the book of Daniel tell you that Satan's coming in? Prosperously and peacefully. Not with war. Not with some big tragedy. But love and money, oh, glory. Buy, pay off all your bills. Love me. Bartholomew. That's what prosperous means. Do you think that's going to deceive people? He could snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven. And I'm quoting from Revelation 13, verses 12 through 13. And they think he's Jesus? Of course that's going to be effective. They don't know any better because they haven't been taught. It is sad. The Bible strictly says the whole world will whore after the false Christ. God's elect are not part of the world, and those that overcome and know better are not. They are of God's house, not this world and its ways. Rhonda from Georgia, how did the fallen angels impregnate woman if they had no gender? Well, stop and think a moment. What did God say in Genesis chapter 1? Let us create man in our image. He included himself. Adam was in the exact image of God and the angels. That's gender. That's male. And then God took the curve. It's not rib, it's curve of man. The helix curve, DNA, the feminine part, and created Eve. And she was the mother of all living because through her would come Christ, and you are either in him or you're not really living eternally. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you. Makes his day when you read the letter he's sent to you to arm yourself and be prepared with the gospel armor that you're not deceived. You make his day, boy, does he make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God, he will always bless you. Now, most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word every day. In his word, is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us, going into the depth, if you would, in that second book, into the three earth ages, giving the most accurate recorded account of the events that transpire and document that there are three earth ages, that there was one before this one, and one to come. Peter, the great fisherman, which in his gentleness and his kindness brings us two books, the books of Peter, that lead, guide, direct, even in your daily life, that teach and show you how to be happy, how to find that peace of mind, and to know yourself. The books of Peter, I know you're going to enjoy them. Network Family Bible Study. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Say, it's real good to be back with you. We're going to complete pre-existence and in the final segment of it. All right. Bear in mind and remember that in pre-existence, in the first two lectures, we covered many things. To say that the word pre-existence works is actually a misnomer, in as much